Veteran environmental reporter Fred Pierce traveled to more than 30 countries to investigate the current state of crucial water sources. He's written a book about his discoveries. It's called When the Rivers Run Dry, Water, the Defining Crisis of the 21st Century. Pierce told Steve Paulson why the rivers are running dry.
Very simple. The rivers are running dry because we're taking too much water out of them. People talk a lot about climate change now, and climate change undoubtedly is and will change how much water gets into our rivers. Some places undoubtedly are receiving less rainfall than they did. But the number one reason why our rivers are running dry remains the amount of water that we take out. Two-thirds of all the water that we take from nature is used for agriculture, for artificial irrigation. These are the great users of water. And it's in the areas of the world where use of water for agriculture is greatest, the biggest problems arising. That's where the rivers are running dry.
Well, that's interesting because I think a lot of people might think that, oh, the cities are the big problem to try to make sure that people have enough water to drink. But no, it's really the agricultural systems. It's trying to figure out especially how to irrigate the crops.
In the parts of the world where we have water shortages, where we have water crises, it is overwhelmingly agriculture that is taking the water. If you go to Pakistan or Mexico, if you go to Egypt or if you go to northern China, you'll find that 80 or frequently more than 90% of the water in use is being used for agriculture. There are certainly places where cities are demanding more water, and there are disputes between urban and rural areas about who gets what of water is available. Usually in those circumstances, it's the cities that win. So in the US, you'll frequently find cities buying up agricultural land because water rights go with that land. They don't want to farm the land, but they want the water that comes with it. You can see that kind of story played out right around the world. In northern China, for instance, the huge megacities like Beijing and Tianjin are demanding water that's currently being taken for agriculture. So the growth of cities is a major stress on water supplies because they're taking water from agriculture. But the biggest users in the water-stressed parts of the world generally are still farming.
Now, when you say these rivers are running dry, do you mean that literally or just the water levels are way down? I mean, all those major rivers that you mentioned are obviously, you know, they're still there. There still is water flowing there. But is it just that there's just not nearly as much water as there used to be?
Well, they're still there on the map, but frequently if you go to them, you'll find that they are either vastly diminished or gone altogether. A few years ago, for 6 months, no water, literally no water, reached the sea from the Yellow River in northern China. This panicked the Chinese government a great deal and reforms came into place. And now there is a rule which stipulates that some water must always reach the sea. But the limit is set very, very low. And basically it means that 99.9% of the water need not reach the sea. So there's a small amount goes there. On the Rio Grande a couple of years ago, a sandbar formed across where the river runs into the ocean. For some months, literally no water reached the sea. The Rio Grande these days for most of the year is literally divided in two. In fact, the river that comes out of the US, out of the Rockies, dries up shortly after El Paso, and the river only resumes a couple of hundred miles downstream where a tributary comes in from Mexico. So there the river is most of the time there, but is in two parts. The River Colorado, virtually no, and I mean virtually no water, passes across the border into Mexico. It is all used up effectively within the U.S. A small amount legally has to be delivered to Mexico, but it's pretty poor stuff.
So what has happened to those rivers, the Rio Grande, the great river that separates the U.S. and Mexico, and the Colorado River? Why are they so depleted?
The water is all being taken, and I mean all being taken for agriculture. Our demands are simply so high. We think quite a lot about the Green Revolution, the revolution in plant breeding of the last 40 years, which delivered very much more food per unit of land, if you like. Our yields measured by how many tons we could get off an acre of land have gone up very greatly in the last 40, 50 years. But the amount of yield that we get for a given amount of water has very often gone down. So in the last 30 years, the world has produced twice as much food, which is handy because the world's population has doubled in that time. But we use three times as much water in order to produce that food. And that's a measure of the scale of what's happened. We've thought we were going to run out of land to grow food, but actually we're running out of water.
Hmm. You also write about some bizarre uses of water around the world. For instance, Saudi Arabia. Can you explain how water is being used there?
Saudi Arabia kind of demonstrates what's gone wrong in our use of water, particularly for agriculture. Despite being desert, or virtually the entire Arabian Peninsula is desert, nonetheless, beneath it, there is quite a lot of water. Ancient water, it's been there underground in the sand, in the rocks, for tens of thousands of years. And the Saudi Arabians have discovered this water and are starting to pump it out. And they are pumping out in very, very large amounts to grow crops in the desert. So you will find in the Arabian Desert air-conditioned cow sheds occupied by cows that are eating fodder grown in the desert. And they're literally emptying these precious underground water reserves in to do that. The idea of growing crops in Saudi Arabia, most of Saudi Arabia, is pretty silly. The idea of growing crops to feed to cattle, to live in air-conditioned sheds in the middle of the desert, is frankly crazy. But that is what is happening. And it's happening really because we have ceased to put a proper value on water. We still kind of regard it as almost a free resource, certainly a resource that ought to be available in unlimited quantities if we want it. And that has led us into these rather crazy situations. It's led us into the situation where water is supplied very, very cheaply, in some countries virtually free, and even in countries like the US at very subsidized prices. And there's a kind of mindset that we've got into. And I think in the coming decades, when we realize that globally water is a constrained resource, a resource on which there are severe limits, we're going to have to change that mindset. We're going to have to start seeing water issues as I think we currently do still, as a supply side problem, and think about them in terms of managing our demand.
What about building dams to try to collect water that then could be tapped for whatever purposes, for agricultural purposes, for use as drinking water? Is that viable?
Well, the world has spent the last 50, 60 years building very large dams in very large numbers. It's been one of the, if you like, distinctive technologies of the second half of the 20th century. I think the World Bank hasn't spent as much money on any other single technology. And these dams have delivered significant benefits, a lot of water for irrigation projects, a lot of hydroelectric schemes that have provided electricity for cities. But we are now beginning to see the downside of those projects. The reservoirs can fill up with silt in many areas, for instance. By disrupting the flood flows downstreams, they often destroy fisheries, they destroy the flood irrigation systems that farmers have traditionally used in order to water their crops. And of course, very large numbers of people, many millions of people, have been flooded from their land by the reservoirs themselves. And often those reservoirs have flooded very fertile soils too. So there are a whole range of human and economic and ecological downsides that really we're only beginning to get to grips with. And it's, I think, making people much more cautious, including the World Bank, much more cautious about investing in large dams in future. But the other thing that's emerging, of course, is that if your rivers are running dry, there is no point in building another dam because there is no more water to collect. A recent study I saw from the International Water Management Institute reckoned that more than a quarter of all the river basins around the world, all their water in those river basins was now allocated. In other words, it all had a use. It was all going to irrigation projects, to farmers, to industry, or to cities. There was no unallocated water. And under those circumstances, if you build another dam, you are not providing new water for anybody. You are simply taking water from one group and giving it to another group. And of course, quite often, that's really what's going on. There's a lot of politics behind building dams. And often it is not so much about providing more water as taking water from one group and giving it to another group. So water is getting very political under those circumstances.
Well, water also raises some interesting land use decisions. I mean, let's talk about New Orleans, for instance, the effort to rebuild the city there. And I suppose you could make the argument that the problem in New Orleans is there's too much water. How do you see this playing into the larger scenario that you've been describing?
Yeah, we talk a lot about drought problems and water supply problems, but we do often have the problem of simply too much water, or at any rate, water in the wrong place at the wrong time. The problems in New Orleans arise in part from hurricanes coming in from the Gulf of Mexico, but partly also to the increasing flashiness of the Mississippi River itself. Water levels go up and down on the river much more than they would naturally. And the reason for that is the way that the river has been engineered over the last century or so. The river has been cut off from its floodplain. Levees have been built all along the river to stop local flooding. But the net effect of that has been that the river has nowhere to go. All the water, which once flooded across the river's very extensive floodplain, now has to stay within the levees. And that just means that more and more water is being pushed downstream all the time. And at some point, some part of the system will give way. And when that happens, the floods are much greater than they would otherwise have been. So we do have a problem, not just with water shortages, but the way in which we manage water in our rivers, so that while our rivers run dry more often, they also now flood more often. When the big rains come, the water has nowhere to go. It doesn't have its natural refuges halfway down the river system in wetlands or on floodplains, because those have mostly been ploughed up or cut off by levees. The water can't get there, so it carries on down and causes huge floods, and cities like New Orleans are the ones that can suffer the effects of that. This is a kind of breakdown of, I think, the way we manage the whole water cycle. Because remember, water is a renewable resource. Ultimately, it does come back round again. But we seem to have lost the ability to manage the water in a sustainable way, so that we're creating droughts for ourselves and we're creating floods for ourselves.
Now, clearly, you are saying that we have a huge problem here. We need to be much smarter, much more efficient in how we use water. Do we need a new system, a new water ethics?
I think we need whatever it takes to change our technological systems and perhaps our value systems about how we use water. And people do talk a lot about a new water ethic. And by that, I think they mean simply regarding water as a finite resource, regarding water as a precious resource that has to be protected, rather than as a source that is, if you like, on tap and always available. Because if we regard it that way, one day it will simply not always be available, even in the rich world.
Fred Pierce is the author of When the Rivers Run Dry, Water, the Defining Crisis of the 21st Century. He spoke with Steve Paulson.